Joining us, News Talk 1010 political analyst Scott Reed. Hello, Scott.
Hello, sir.
And former journalist and communications advisor to the Premier, founder of KPW Communications, Carmen Wong is with us. Hey, Carmen.
Hey, everyone.
How are you both?
Great, thanks.
Good. So earlier today, on the heels of a similar situation yesterday, we had Toronto Police and City Crew go into a homeless encampment at Lambert Stadium, King and Dufferin area, and they tried to enforce the trespass notices that were issued well over a month ago. However, it got a little ugly, as you can hear in the background at 1:20 this afternoon, where we had clashes between protesters and police. You know, obviously this is a different situation than we saw yesterday, but not new as the city goes to carry out the end of these encampments throughout the parks, throughout the city. I'll start with you, Scott. Is this still the right tactic? Should we still press on, even though protesters seem to be getting, at least today, much more violent and much more aggressive?
I guess so. I don't, you know, the way I look at this is, it's such a messy situation, and thank goodness I don't have to be accountable for these decisions, because you look at this and you say, well, why would we permit the situation to get so bad that protesters show up and an excavation or an eviction situation ends up with violence? But the problem is, if you move preemptively earlier, you look like you're being violent. You look like you're being too heavy-handed. So, you know, it really is a bit of a mess of a situation. My general disposition is I would try to defuse this bomb before it goes off. I would try to do it earlier than that. But it's
but
not
what,
easy.
Scott, what does that look like, though?
I think I would not permit as many encampments to arise as they do. Once the encampments are this multiple, and then you're going to attract more electricity when you have to ultimately deal with it. So I think I try to deal with it prior to this point. But that's easy for me to say, because I don't have to deal with the consequences of dealing with it preemptively either, and I recognize that.
Carmen, are you in agreement with Scott? Is this still sort of the best of the bad options?
Well, this is the place the city and the police find themselves at because they let it go on for too long. I mean, encampments of this size, they don't pop up overnight. They start smaller and they get bigger. And I think, you know, moving forward, I think they've got to start earlier. I mean, once you start to see one or two tents go up, like, why even let those go up? So those are public parks, and the city is taken a line on how they should be used and what'll happen if encampments overrun it, and I think they should start enforcing it way earlier.
Okay, we got the opinion of the mayor on this one just a couple of minutes ago. I'll move on to you guys. Anybody agree with what Brampton Mayor Patrick Brown is saying right here?
As Section 16.4 of the Reopening of Ontario Act makes masking mandatory around sports fields. So outdoors, you know, parents will have to mask up when watching their kids play sports. That seems unnecessary. I would encourage the province to look at those aspects of the Reopening of Ontario Act that could be amended to make it easier on municipalities to show the public goodwill who have done so much to get us to where we are now in the pandemic.
I'm starting to wonder, you know, even if all masking restrictions are lifted, Scott, I think we're going to start to see individuals that are going to mask up no matter what. And I don't think that's going anywhere anytime soon. But I guess the real question I have for you is it too soon to relax mask rules?
Yeah, I don't know. So, I mean, we should refer to public health officials. That's not my question. My question is, why is the mayor of Brampton saying this? And as you know, I'm not Doug Ford's best friend. The answer to the question I just posed is, it garbage politics. It's garbage politics what Patrick Brown is doing right now. He's not accountable for these decisions. He has at every turn said, you know what, the province, they should be taking it easier. They should be doing more to make sure that we're supporting everybody who wants to do less, not more. He has consistently taken this tone so that he can jab a stick in the spokes of the premier, and he's doing it for personal political vendetta reasons. That's exactly what's going on here, and I just think we should call it out. Whether he's right or wrong is actually immaterial. I think in this situation, what's consequential is his motives, and his motives, garbage politics.
Carmen, you feel the same?
I don't know. Like, Okay, yeah, sure. But maybe there is some political motivation behind the things that he's asking for. He's also the mayor of a large city that's been really adversely affected by COVID. I mean, as for the masking outside, I think the rules and the guidelines have to adjust to changing circumstances and evolving with the situations. For example, in the beginning of the pandemic, I lived downtown. Walking on a sidewalk, it was too crowded for my liking, so I'd mask and I prefer everyone else's mask. We've moved a little further out of the city and there's more space, so I don't mind not masking. Also, I'm Asian. My people wore masks before it was cool, so I'm coming from a place where I don't see it as a big assault on people to ask them to wear masks. So I think I'll be wearing masks for a long time.
So we've got some parents in Quebec who are a little upset about some of the policies around the Little League football that their kids are playing in. Specifically, they've asked that if your child plays and he's larger than average for his age, they're going to ask them to wear a big X on their helmet. Now, the rationale is for safety, and they say that it allows the referees to make sure that they keep an eye on the kids that have the big X, and it also means that the kids aren't allowed to do certain things that you would normally do playing football. Is this overkill for the sake of safety, or is this the right thing to do so that everybody's kid can play? Scott?
It's a big mistake. And here's the issue. I played football. I coached football. I coached my son playing football, as a matter of fact. And if the health risk is that pronounced, if you have to start saying sorry, if the 11-year-old who weighs this much can't hit the 11-year-old who weighs that much this hard, then you have to say to yourself, let's take a step back and wonder if whether or not this game is safe, period. So my attitude, even as a football fan and someone who grew up playing football, is this is not the way to do this. You don't stigmatize certain kids because, you know, oh yeah, no, they have to run at 3/4 speed and you can't pull that off anyway in the game. It really begs the question of whether or not football just has to be bled out of small little league sports. And the last thing I would say is at least 50% of this is driven by liability and insurance issues.
So, Carmen, before we get you to answer, I want to play this for you. This is Killiam Bagarato and his dad, Richard Bagarato. Here's what they had to say.
Well, I don't think it's fair for others, and especially me. I would love to play on the defense. I think other players would, too.
To identify a kid, to make him feel bad, to victimize him, or create a prejudice in regards to his weight, we know this has a psychological impact growing up. It doesn't just affect little girls. It does affect little boys as well.
So, Carmen, is this a stigma? Is this the wrong approach?
Yeah, it is. I don't like this at all. I think sports should be inclusive. Teams should find a place, especially at that age, for anyone to play, no matter their size. And marking a child to say they're different and they'll be treated differently, that flies in the spirit of that inclusiveness. I also think if you limit people to certain roles or position based on their size, then, you know, maybe a lot of great athletes wouldn't have emerged.
I've been waiting all day to ask this question of our panel. I know, Scott, I'm sure this is something that you give a lot of thought to. You're a styling guy.
Mm.
A haberdasher, I'm sure you have employed. Carmen, I know you have a partner in your life. We were looking at data today that tells us, and maybe I'll start with Carmen this time around, that tells us that a guy reaches his style prime at the age of 30. Before that, the average guy goes through 5 overall looks, 4 hairdos, and 3 different facial hairstyles. So when it comes to your partner, did they peak at 30? Are they still having their best years to come? What's the situation?
So I'm married to someone who works in finance IT. He plays video games and reads comic books. So his uniform is jeans, a t-shirt, and a hoodie. And that's how it's always been since we were in university. But I just think, you know, men like women, probably by the age of 30, they feel a lot more comfortable in their skin. They know themselves better than they did in their teens and 20s. Maybe they got a little more money to spend and they got better jobs. So I get it. It makes sense. But for me, I think some people are just the way they are.
I think you're married to an army of men, Carmen, because there's so many people that have that exact same outfit. My text board's blowing up. Is Carmen married to me? I think I'm married to Carmen. How about you, Scott? Do you think you peaked at 30 when it comes to your duds?
Well, first of all, Carmen, you've got my email. Could you connect me with your husband? Because we and I share a passion for comic books. And sitting on the couch, I think we're going to get along really good. Look, no. Men peak from a fashion perspective at 54, which is coming up in 8 months for me. I can tell you that from personal research perspective. When I was 30, I was better than when I was 22, but it's been getting better year by year, month by month. And I think what I'm trying to say, Jay, is that the best is yet to come, baby. Just watch me.
All right. I look forward to seeing that in your Plenty of Fish profile later tonight.
And Scott, I just got to ask, was it entirely of your own doing, or was there somebody else that helped you with your style?
No, I'm just talking crap here. I mean, I look like a bag of garbage and have since I was, you know, 17.
How can one man own so many pairs of Habs socks?
I'm not actually big on the socks. I don't like the branded socks thing.
Okay.
But, you know, the loose fitting t-shirt. Oh man, I'm the king of that.
You're the king of that. All right. Well, thank you, Scott and Carmen, for that glimpse into your lives and for all of your comments today. Great commentary. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.